The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. So, I wonder if anybody could explain something to me. When I went to my local Albertsons this morning, they sell liquor there. And they were installing, it was always sitting on open shelves, and they were installing glass locking doors.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If anybody, a lot of stores have this.
Oh, yeah.
And they were doing the install as I was walking by, and I saw the lady, and I said, is this because shoplifting was so horrible? She, oh, you wouldn't believe it. Can anybody explain to me that every single drug vagrant in the city can walk into a store, grab bottles of booze, they walk into REI, they grab pickaxes or ice axes, whatever it is. We have shoplifting rampant. How in the world is Tim Iman the only shoplifting charge that has been prosecuted in our state? When they let every single druggie steal stuff with impunity, and Tim Iman gets assigned a court date today for taking, and I'm not defending Tim, and I'm not a Tim fanboy, nor am I a Tim hater, but it is ludicrous that we've got all these drug addicts stealing stores blind, and the cops won't even respond to a call, and yet a judge sets a court date today for Tim Iman.
There's a difference.
What's the difference?
Because there was surveillance tape.
I guarantee you every grocery store has.
They were able to identify Tim Iman on because he's so well known. So that was one another thing.
And this is political persecution in our state.
I'm sure that will be argued.
Tim should start right now. If you're listening, Tim, you should develop a horrible heroin habit. And then you can steal with impunity.
In a lot of those cases, because I have witnessed shoplifting cases, too, and I'm thinking their hands are pretty much tied. They've been told because so much can happen when you try to chase down someone who's shoplifting. So they try to take these preventative measures like the glass case and the locks and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But once someone takes off with it, they're gone.
I know.
In this case, Tim Iman was on video.
Look,
and
I was tough on him when he came on the show and tried to explain. I think his explanation's bogus, and he went back and paid for it. And I said, well, wouldn't every thief like to do that? If you get caught, I'll just pay for it and make it good. So I was tough.
The thing that's different, though, Dory, too, is that we're covering it because he is a public figure. But I do know someone who's like a friend whose son just got busted for shoplifting, and they're having to go through the court process.
I'd like to see how many and what percentage of shoplifters who get court cases assigned are anti-tax activists. Because I bet it's a very high percentage. That's
okay,
insane.
Okay, wait a minute. You think he's being targeted because he's Tim Iman?
Yes. Absolutely.
So what should be done? Just, okay, slap on the wrist?
Fine him.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Well, that's probably what's going to happen.
I know, but they're making this. So the thing today.
Well, we're making it because we're reporting on it.
Well, but we're reporting on it because it's happening. Just give him a ticket. Give him a ticket. And let go. But the judge sets a court date. Every single junkie in the city shoplifts 100 times a month. And this is the one that gets assigned a court date. That's. Okay, before I get to the big lead here, I got to share this one story with you guys. Boy, you know that I love the meat. And pork. I love pork.
I was curious where you were going with that. Okay.
Yeah,
I love steaks.
Good. Oh,
bacon.
Thick cut pepper bacon. It doesn't get any better. I've told you my go-to meal when I know I'm dining by myself, pork chops. And scalloped potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a story today that made me, more than any story I've ever seen, read, watched, that made me feel bad about being a meat eater. Have you heard about these activists, these animal rights activists down in Southern California?
Yes.
This story, First of all, I, you know, animal rights activists, I don't have a lot in common with them. But every time I read a story, I try to read it with, you know, as open a mind as I'm capable of having. And as I was reading the story, all set to think that this is silly and ridiculous, the more I read it, I thought this is the most beautiful animal activism I have ever heard.
What changed it for you, or what made you feel that way?
There's a Farmer John's slaughterhouse down in Southern California.
Are you getting choked up right now?
No. Okay. I find it ironic because Farmer John's just seems so bucolic, and then it's a slaughterhouse. Farmer John going to kill me some pigs. So every day, 18-wheelers are taking truckloads of pigs into the slaughterhouse. And they about 50 or 60 animal rights activists, they are outside the gate every single day, apparently. And they
take some dedication.
They bring these huge tanks of water and water bottles, and it takes about 2 minutes for the truck to go through security and for the gate arm to raise up. And Farmer Johns has told these activists, "We are fine with what you're doing." And the activists aren't just hating on the slaughterhouse, but what they do is they reach in through the truck and they let the pigs suckle on these water bottles, and they have big, huge sprayer hoses, and they will spray them with water. And one of the people who does it, let me just read this to you from the Los Angeles Times. "The pigs lapped up the water and offered satisfied grunts. 'Good baby,' said a woman to one as it suckled on a bottle. 'All for baby.' And they said for 2 minutes it played out like a day at the petting zoo or the county fair, and the drivers know they're going to be there. And they're describing these pigs' lives, and they said they probably, you know, raised for slaughter, for mass production of our meat. One of the activists said, they probably haven't had a moment of love in their lives. And so we're going to give them 2 minutes right before they're taken to slaughter. And we're going to talk nice to them. They've been directed by the leader of this group. Don't act sad, because pigs are really smart and they can sense your emotion. And they said, just give them love. And they're not trying to shut down the slaughterhouse. They're just giving these little pigs 2 minutes of joy."
Okay, that's heartbreaking.
Isn't it?
Oh, no.
I know. It made me, and because I will readily admit that I like the blissful ignorance.
I don't want to know how it gets from farm to table.
Yeah.
It was sad.
But I just thought it was beautiful, and I thought, man, if they call them vigils, they're out there every day. And I thought, man, if you want to swing people over to your side, what an absolutely beautiful way of doing it. So anyway, they give pigs a moment. Mm. That's sweet. And so,
but then is it more drastic for the pig after they're all loved and then all of a sudden
they don't know what
lights
coming.
Out?
Yeah.
They don't know.
Boo.
Yeah. Just gave them a moment.
Oh.
I'm not going to eat any pork this weekend. This weekend.
Maybe. Give it up.
Okay, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So amidst all the madness down in Olympia, one bill that passed out of the Senate yesterday, this is crazy to me. They are going to require car dealers to have 2.5% of their inventory be electric cars. And I'm thinking the free market would dictate that. If people want electric cars, they should get electric cars, and the dealers would make them available. But the government is telling business owners what their inventory must be instead of letting the free market dictate it. This is what happens in socialism, which is why it is clear what has taken over things in Olympia this year. Which brings me to the next point in the big lead.
The big lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, as we've been talking about, and as I told you yesterday, more specifically, This is shaping up as a bloodbath for the taxpayers down in this legislative session in Olympia. And what's amazing is how they are completely disregarding the clear will of the voters. You know, the voters last November said no, overwhelmingly, 57% to 43% to a carbon tax. But now the legislature says, oh, you won't vote for one yourself? We'll just impose one on you. And I want to start putting some numbers together so you can understand how much all of this is going to cost you. And somebody who has been working on just that is Todd Myers at the Washington Policy Center. Todd, always good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Yeah, it's good to talk with you, especially when there's so much going on in Olympia.
Well, it's really crazy. I mean, I've been talking to a couple of the senators who are trying to tamp things down a little bit, and they say they have never seen a legislative session like this, that there are no moderate Democrats left, and the party in control is just out of control.
Well, yeah, and as you say, we voted down a carbon tax last year that would have been $15 a metric ton to start with, and what that means is 13 cents a gallon. And what just passed out of the Senate Transportation Committee is actually higher than that. It would be a $15 per metric ton plus additional 6 cents per gallon. So it would end up being 19 cents a gallon rather than the 13 cents a gallon we just voted down.
Okay. And have you been able to figure out, and I asked this question of a Republican senator who is furious at what's happening. I'm trying to understand just the humanity of people who understand that we're overtaxed, we're overburdened. This is a tax that hits the middle class, the working class, the hardest. And I'm trying to understand and get inside the heads of these lawmakers who don't seem to have any connection between the reality of families in this region and the legislation that they are passing.
Well, I think it has become a crusade, and I mean a crusade in the most sort of emotional sense, because the costs of these things have totally been thrown to the side. So as difficult as that is to swallow, the 19 cent a gallon, that actually is the cheapest of all the options. There's another option for what's called the low carbon fuel standard, which would add more biofuel and have other costs. That actually would be an additional 17 cents a gallon in the near future, going up to 34 cents a gallon. And then we also just saw what's called a cap and trade system, which is another form of carbon tax, but it's much more volatile and would be more expensive. That also was dropped. So the ironic thing is that the 19 cent a gallon gas tax proposal might be the least costly of what they're considering. And I think it is just part of when you keep screaming that climate change is an existential crisis, you stop caring about what the price is to families, working families and other folks. And I'll add one more thing, which is they're looking at subsidizing electric vehicles, but electric vehicles are purchased by the wealthy.
Yeah.
So not only is it are we hitting, you know, working families with taxes, we're now taking taxes from working families and handing them to wealthy families. It's really a mess.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, so let's take some of the numbers that you've calculated, just what this means for my listeners and their families, and you calculated the average car goes about 10,500 miles, average about 22 miles a gallon for existing, 25 miles per gallon for new cars. So what does that come to? How much is this going to end up costing our families?
So it depends on where you are in the state, what your electricity is. But if you have a two-car household, which a lot of people do, it will range from about $207 a year all the way up to almost $300 a year in new taxes on top of what you're already paying.
And we're already paying the second highest gas tax in the United States before this additional 19 cents a gallon.
Right. Yeah, we would blow past number one, and we would be number one overall when you combine the carbon tax plus the gas tax.
It's also going to because I have natural gas furnace and water heater and fireplace. It's also going to jack up natural gas prices, right?
That's exactly right. So anybody who has natural gas heating and then, of course, electricity, we have very good electricity. We have a lot of hydro and nuclear and a tiny amount of wind and almost no solar. But still, when it gets cold, like it has been this last winter, we do replace that with natural gas. And so we would replace that for electricity. And so you'd also pay more for your electricity bill.
And then I saw this other bill They are going to mandate that car dealers, the 2.5% of their inventory be electric cars. And I found that one mind-boggling, Todd. The government is going to tell business owners what their inventory must be instead of the marketplace telling them. I mean, what if nobody buys the cars that the state of Washington mandates they put on their lots?
Well, it starts at 2.5% and then it goes up from there. And what happens is that you lower the price to move the cars off your lot. You lower the price of electric vehicles, and you raise the price of everything else. Again, electric vehicles are purchased. We've looked at the numbers of where electric vehicles are purchased in Washington State, and it doesn't surprise you that it's Bellevue and Medina and other places like that, and not, you know, in poor communities. So the way that dealers deal with that is that they simply increase the rates of more affordable cars and then reduce the rates of electric vehicles. So it's a hidden subsidy. It's not a direct taxpayer subsidy, but it is a regulatory subsidy for electric vehicle purchasers.
Is this a pendulum that has swung as far as it's going to the left, or are we just going to go off the moorings and keep going deeper into crazy land here?
It's really hard to say. There are lots of folks who I have worked with in the past who I have disagreed with. Senators on the left and senators who I've helped write policies with, who now won't talk to me anymore and are supporting all sorts of things that I never would have thought. So I don't know whether it is frustration, whether it is bravado, or they just feel like they're going to take the whole loaf. It's a really strange political time. It's one of the strangest sessions that I've seen, and I think you're right. There doesn't seem to be anything mooring them, some of these proposals, to reality.
Yeah, well, and it's the families that are suffering with increased tax burden as they pursue their government as religion mantra. Todd Myers, Washington Policy Center, I always appreciate your analysis and you coming on with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We have so much still to do as we cruise through the afternoon together. Ursula's going to check the news. Then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire day. Awesome audio coming up next on The Dory Monson Show. I lack many things in many ways, but one thing I do not lack is self-awareness. I have to be exasperating for Nicole here.
Why? Jeez. Did you come to that conclusion today?
Well, because we got we're putting together these files for the
yes.
show, and one of our coworkers scanned in a bunch of photos. And I go, Nicole, how do we get all these things in Dropbox? And she goes, well, sign into Dropbox. What's my password? Whatever you made your password when you did the account yesterday. Now what do I have to do? And she has to walk over. She goes, click on that. Okay, now click on that. And I really, I have to be exasperating.
But she loves you.
Well, who and doesn't?
I think you guys, I mean, it's not just one way, right, Nicole?
It makes me feel needed.
There you go. Well, you are needed, even if that didn't happen.
Man, I'm sorry.
I don't mind.
Okay, all right. So let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
And our Awesome Audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. I tell you what, Brown Bear, they are doing some business after the snow of a couple of weeks ago. I went to Brown Bear day before yesterday, and man, they were cooking. I love it. I love my buddies there at Brown Bear. Okay, so number three, yesterday, R. Kelly made our Awesome Audio when he had his freak out on CBS. This morning, one of the girls who lives with him, the 21-year-old, Osriel Clary, she sat down with the 23-year-old who also lives with him. They have a little menage a trois. And, well, that was interesting as she did her interview with CBS today.
Number three.
Tell me, Ashwell, why you're crying. Tell me.
I'm crying because you guys don't know the truth. You guys, I believe in some facade that our parents are saying. This is all lies for money. And if you can't see that, you're ignorant and you're stupid as because you want to be. All because that's the world we live in. Negativity sells.
Exactly.
Gossip is what sells.
Exactly.
Rumors are what sells.
Exactly.
But Jocelyn and Azrael, this is more than gossip. This is more than just rumors. These are decades of allegations against Robert Kelly.
We're not here to talk about decades. We're here to talk about what our parents are doing right now.
Right.
And what they're doing right now is all for money.
Right.
They say that the parents' allegations against R. Kelly, which in, you know, at least one of the girls' cases, they say, you know, underage sex. I mean, this guy has got multiple child rape allegations against him. And by the way, let me also point out how unbelievably despicable much of the media is regarding this. I mean, so-called legitimate websites, like the, I don't even like naming it, theatlantic.com. Listen to what they had to say about the R. Kelly child rape allegations. The closest comparison here might be to Me Too target now on the Supreme Court. The substance of what the two men have been accused of differs vastly, but their responses and the cultural scripts they draw upon rhyme. Brett Kavanaugh shouted about Christine Blasey Ford's allegations as being unfair given the life he's lived, while R. Kelly argued that his previous acquittal meant the present allegations were also unfair. I mean, that's the sewer rats that populate some of the media. To compare somebody with really credible child rape allegations against him, R. Kelly, to somebody who had his accuser's stories absolutely fall apart. And, oh, by the way, Stephen Colbert made the same point as The Atlantic with this hilarious joke last night.
Robert.
Wow. Wow, he shouted and he cried, but it was completely unconvincing. For Pete's sake, he forgot to say he liked beer. Gail King.
Oh, shouts of laughter and applause, because yes, our Supreme Court justice is just like an accused child rapist. I'm serious. What a bunch of sewer rats we got populating so much of the media. Number two. Here's somebody in the media I like. So Jay Inslee, we had Phil Fortunato, state senator, on the show yesterday. He sent a letter to Jay Inslee and said, why don't you reimburse the taxpayers for the extra costs of you running for president? We got to pay Cyrus Habib more every day you're gone. We got to spend millions on Secret Service detail. So our friend Brandy Cruz at Q13 asked Jay Inslee about that.
Number two.
Why should Washington taxpayers foot the bill for your security while you're out of the state running for president? And are you, sir, worried about the health and welfare of the troopers protecting you and your family, some of whom I imagine are in this room tonight?
Yeah, look, these folks for the State Patrol do a super job. They're very dedicated. They're like family to us. So you bet I'm concerned for anything that affects their safety. We've had three troopers who were hit by cars in the snow in the last couple weeks.
What does that have to do with anything? The State Patrol said they are understaffed. They're taking guys off the freeways so that they can go gallivant around the country with Inslee. We had troopers who hit in the snow.
That I've talked to. So this is very personal for Trudy and myself. And that's what, one of the reasons that we have a budget request to make sure that we can have adequate personnel so that they do not get in positions where they're working too long.
So in other words, you have to pay more for Inslee running for president. You as a taxpayer, me as a taxpayer.
Hope the legislature will take care of that. As far as your first question, we're just following the law, and we're following what has been the law and the tradition, both for Democrat and Republican governors for 100 and plus years now in the state of Washington. We're just going to continue that policy.
Okay. So in other words, you will pay for Jay Inslee's presidential campaigning. And all of that is our favorite sound bites of the day. Coming up next, we'll tell you what is our, oh no, today's sign. The end is near. Next.
And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a
day. So let's finish strong once again with today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. It was the 2 o'clock hour yesterday when we received and delivered really heartbreaking breaking news. And that was the report from Alex Trebek, the Jeopardy host, that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. The 5-year survival rate for that is just 3%. But Alex Trebek put out this amazingly upbeat, funny video as a message to his fans. And he's a guy who is universally beloved. I mean, who doesn't like Alex Trebek? But I found this just absolutely despicable. On CNN, Chris Cuomo, that insufferable punk, he reported on Alex Trebek, but he decided to politicize it. He decided to make Alex Trebek's almost certainly terminal cancer a way to take a shot at the president. It was stomach-turning listening to this garbage.
In a time that is all about what is keeping us apart, we got tough news today about someone who has always brought America together, literally for decades. I don't care what your race, color, creed, gender, bank account level, you've watched Jeopardy. Since 1984, Alex Trebek has been the smartest guy in our living room.
Okay, all that's fine. Yeah, it's nice. Everybody loves him. That's what I just said. But then listen to the direction he takes it.
Teaching us, more importantly, bringing us together, is a major asset to our culture, not just to the game show. In a time of shallow beliefs and rampant truth abuse in our politics and beyond, every night he makes facts first.
In a time of shallow beliefs and rampant truth abuse. Yeah, that's it. Use the terminal cancer diagnosis of Alex Trebek to work in your little Trump hatred on CNN. What, I mean, what a despicable network and what a despicable person Chris Cuomo is. Just absolutely disgusting. Today's sign story number 2. If you're at Taco Bell and things take 45 minutes to get an order, tempers may flare.
Nobody deserves what happened to me.
Brian Reese says workers behind the counter at the Taco Bell at 11th and Chestnut targeted him in an unprovoked attack caught on his friend's cell phone camera.
I'm angry and frustrated, absolutely. The fact that people can just jump counters and beat up whoever they want.
You can see in the video workers in Taco Bell uniforms holding the 38-year-old real estate broker in a headlock as the assault spilled into the street while another worker threw punches.
He got attacked by 6 Taco Bell workers. This guy did.
When Reese's girlfriend tried to stop them, they say a worker held her down while another beat her.
It was such a blur because it was so traumatic, like seeing my 2 friends getting like beat up for no reason.
Joe Boback shot the video back on February 24th.
It was like complete chaos.
Brian Reese says he put the video out on social media today after Taco Bell and police were slow to address the attack.
It was unprovoked, and there's no reason that my girlfriend should have been on the ground getting beat up as well. Justice means the people get arrested and there's repercussions for actions.
The Taco Bell brawl where 6 Taco Bell workers beat up a customer and his girlfriend. Man, that's good food if you're willing to put up with all of that. And then finally, you remember that story we told you about a few weeks ago? A conservative guy was setting up on the campus of Cal Berkeley. And he had some conservative causes. He was passing out recruitment materials for a conservative activist organization. And that's when a left-winger came up.
Can you explain what you're doing?
I'm going to video this.
You're not videoing me.
All right, well, we're in public, so I'm just going to video it for my own safety because you seem really erratic.
You are encouraging violence.
No, I'm not.
I don't give you a word. Videotaping. You're a
okay, and right there, 28-year-old Zachary Greenberg just sucker punched the guy out of nowhere. There, first he's, you know, yelling at him, and then he just sucker punches him. There he throws his phone down. So, but he was on video, clear as can be. They have arrested him. He's likely going to go to prison now. And more of these unhinged leftists should be going to prison. The ones who are throwing punches because they don't like how somebody else thinks. It's happening all the time. Zachary Greenberg has now been charged. And this is down in the Bay Area, where they got pretty liberal justice system. But the video is so clear. He's been charged with assault. By the way, do we have any street fighting music while I'm telling the rest of this story here? There we go. So I hope you're listening in stereo like I am in my headphones now. It's blowing my mind, man. So because left-winger Zachary Greenberg decided to be a street-fighting man, he's been charged with assault, with battery, with criminal threats. Each of those is a felony in California. He could have just looked and said, hey, there's a guy who doesn't think like me. Oh, well, and kept on walking. But like an increasing number of leftists, he saw a guy who doesn't think like me. I hate him. I have to go punch him now. And he could go to prison for years because of it. One more unhinged leftist off the streets because he couldn't control the demons within him. Good riddance if he is convicted. Of course, this could only happen in Trump's America. I gotta get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for today. But you know, our Friday shows are always the culmination, the pinnacle that we've been building for all week. So I'll go home and think up a bunch of great stuff for tomorrow's broadcast. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hey, there.
I've worked with better. But not many. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.